James chapter 1. And we begin our reading tonight that we want to begin at verse 19, but really we should begin at verse 18, because verse 18 introduces the subject of the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse 18. Of His own will begat He us with a word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now may the Lord bless His word. Certainly good to see Sarah Murdoch with us tonight, and her mother, another lady. It's always good to have a missionary home on furlough, and I trust this will be a time of real refreshing for her. I have a friend that I'm not going to mention this friend's name, but there's a little need there that someone may be able to fulfill very easily. This person is in need of a table and chairs for their kitchen. And a lot of times people have this lying around or stored somewhere that they could very easily either sell it at a good price or maybe give it to someone. If there is such a person around, you let me know and we'll try to do something about it. Now let's pray together. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we thank You tonight that You're building Your church, and the bride, the church of Jesus Christ, the true church, is not eyeing her own garments, but is looking constantly into the face of the bridegroom, our well-beloved. And we pray now as we study together that we'll seriously examine our souls as we ask the question that James is asking, does the Word work? And we'll thank You in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This portion of the book of James, and James, you'll remember, is the practical writer of the New Testament. And I mentioned our first night in James chapter 1 that James is like a dentist who is leaning over you saying to you, now this may hurt a little. And inasmuch as I'll see the dentist in the morning, I know what it's like, and I'm afraid it may hurt a little. But this is what James is saying to us. The Word of God is introduced in verse 18, as I noticed and mentioned in the beginning of the Bible reading. Of His own will begat He us with a word of truth. The efficient cause of salvation is the will of God. And never forget that. The instrumental cause of salvation is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to accomplish the new birth, and it is the new birth that is before us in James 1:18. This word begotten has reference to being born of God. And our Lord Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, for God was His Father. of his own will begotten us with the word of truth. And then the final cause of salvation is we are first fruits of his creatures. And as first fruits, the Lord Jesus wants to wave us before the world and manifest what he is doing in us, that the word of God really works. Now, because a person is exposed to the word of God, does not guarantee that that person is experiencing the word of God. There is a difference between being exposed to it and experiencing it. It's possible to be confronted with truth without being changed by truth. You see, the Bible was not written to satisfy our curiosity. The Bible was written to overhaul our experience. And this is so important. How does the Bible relate to our life? This is what James is asking. Does the Word work? Well, now the answer to that question is this. If I'm a child of God by the blood of his cross, then the Word is working according to my reaction to it. For when God speaks, I am obligated to do something. And God has spoken. The Word of God is a revelation of God. One of the biggest concerns in my own personal life is there is such a large chasm between what I know and what I experience. The old brethren used to speak about trafficking in unfelt truth. And I know what it's like when the Spirit of God begins to make you feel the truth that you teach. When I taught the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, then I had to feel what it meant, that God was sovereign. And the feeling isn't always nice. But nevertheless, that doesn't change truth. We can easily traffic in theory without knowing in reality what God is expecting of us in our reaction to his word. Now, we oftentimes are trying to impress other people and even God with our knowledge of his word. But somehow God is never impressed. God is never impressed with my knowledge of his word. But he is constantly working on me to change me and make me more like our Lord Jesus Christ than I really am. You see, James in these verses, beginning in verse 19, for that little word, wherefore, is a conclusion. It is a summarizing of what has gone before. So he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. If the Word of God is working in my life, then I should run to listen, stop before speaking, and stop before getting angry. Slow to wrath. These three things should characterize the life of an individual who is being conformed by the Word into a creature that is owned of God. So, let us take a look at this. You see, James is presenting a basic principle. Buildings are always determined by their foundation. The foundation of a building is very important. Our Lord taught this in the Sermon on the Mount. He speaks of the wise man and the foolish man, and the difference between the two was not that they were poor builders. It was the foundation that they laid. And a good building is known by its foundation. So the foundation is we should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now the subject is the Word of God. We are to be quick to hear the Word of God. Throughout the New Testament, our Lord, whenever he spoke, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You have that in his letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, in Revelation 2 And three, you have it in his mysteries of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13. Somehow or other, we do everything, but listen, we hear not what we really ought to hear because our minds are elsewhere. How do we begin to hear? We begin with an intense hunger for the Word of God. They that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. An intense hunger for the Word of God. America is a strange country. We do a lot of foolish things in this country. A celebrity is saved, and the first thing they do, they put him on a platform to speak. That only happens, I believe, in America. You see, we put new converts on a platform to speak and expect them to minister out of a vacuum. It's impossible, friend. Before God thrust Saul of Tarsus forth as the beloved Apostle Paul, Paul spent 3 years in Arabia with the Lord, sorting out the Old Testament so he understood the truth of the new covenant that he was going to present and the gospel that he was going to preach. A person can impart what they do not possess. So he says, slow to speak, but swift to hear. The beggars of Rome used to have a statement. Silence for a shekel. No, speech for a shekel. Silence for two. I had it backwards. I'll give you two if you stop. It's like the man who was playing a violin in a restaurant. This fellow told me he was sitting there and the fellow came around playing his violin and he asked for a tip. After he serenaded him, he said, I'll serenade you if you leave and go out of the room to play it. He didn't like a violin. He liked a trumpet. You see it. But the Word of God is convicting. The Word of God is penetrating. And a lot of times we get angry and we take it out on people. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. One of the big problems among God's people is their insecurity when it comes to spiritual things. Why is it that people cannot sit down with an open Bible and discuss the Word of God without getting all upset if somebody disagrees with them? It is our insecurity that shows. If we know what we believe and we know why we believe it, it doesn't matter what somebody else says, and we need to have what we believe tested by the Word and by other people's ideas. But one of our biggest problems is we will not sit down with an open Bible. It is because we're insecure over what we really profess that we do believe. So James is presenting a basic principle. Does the Word work? Now, he interprets that principle in verses 21 and 22, where he says, wherefore, lay apart or aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul. In other words, be swift to hear. To hear what? The Word of God. We have a responsibility, friends, to remove anything that would hinder us from hearing the Word of God. Now, I speak at the county prison occasionally, and just 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago on a Saturday morning, I was over there. And while I was presenting the gospel, there's a woman handed her clipboard around to the prisoners. And if I'm ever there again, and I will probably be there the third Saturday of this month, I'm going to tell that person before the meeting, now, if you want to be embarrassed, you hand that clipboard around again. The Word of God teaches us, and the Lord is a teacher in Matthew 13, that when the seed of the Word of God is sown, the fowls of the air try to catch away that which was sown in the heart, lest it take root and bring forth fruit. And friends, it's about time we get serious about the business of preaching the gospel. We have a responsibility to remove anything that hinders us from hearing the Word of God. Now, it's an insult to an audience if the preacher comes unprepared. It's an insult. And if I didn't prepare before I preached, I'd be insulting the Lord's people. But you see, it's an insult to the preacher if the audience is unprepared. It works both ways. The preacher may be prepared, but the audience may not be prepared. You see, this whole passage here says, wherefore laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. You see, dirt has to be removed. Psalm 24 says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? And the answer comes back, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. In other words, this is the person who has allowed the Word of God to cleanse the inner being of his personality. Things must be laid aside. And cleansing, friends, always precedes communion. This is why in relation to the Lord's Supper, the Word of God says, but let every man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Self-examination. You see, cleansing precedes communion. And you can't stick your dirty hands and dirty feet under the table of the Lord. God will not have it. He will not have it. So here the principle illustrated is there must be something removed. Lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. But then there's the other side. Receive. There's something to be received. There's a responsibility before the ministry of the Word of God. There is a laying aside. There is a judging of sin. But then there is something during the ministry of the Word of God. You know, it's easy to play ecclesiastical basketball. You know, boy, I'm glad Sister So-and-so was there. She needed that this morning. Boy, that really fit her. You heard about the pastor who had a person in his congregation. Every Sunday when they shook hands, after the service, he'd say, that's just what they needed. Sunday after Sunday, that's just what they needed. That's just what they needed. And then one Sunday it snowed. And he was the only person there. And the preacher thought to himself, I wonder what he's going to say today. So when he shook hands with him after the sermon, he said, that's just what they needed. It's a shame they weren't here to hear it. It's never what do I need. It's what somebody else needs. Constantly passing the ball to someone else. You see, the Word of God here says, receive with humility. There's no place in the hearing of the Word of God for a superiority complex. There's no place for it. Receive with humility, with meekness, the engrafted Word. And you see, this Word is able to save your soul. In other words, not only salvation from sin's penalty, but salvation that comes from sin's power. The damage that sin can do in the life of a child of God. And this is written to believers. This is written in order that we give ourselves to it. And why did James write? Why? Because there are many who do not receive. There are many who do not receive. So you have the principle interpreted. There is remove, there is receive, and then there is reproduce. Now, responsibility doesn't end when I've listened to a sermon. Responsibility doesn't end when I've heard the Word of God. It only begins. Once I've heard the Word of God, I must develop a plan of action to put what I have heard into action. That's what James is saying. How's he saying it? Notice verse 23 or verse 22. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And then in this reproduction, he illustrates the principle in verses 23 through 25. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. The person who listens to a sermon and doesn't plan and determine to put into action that which it calls for, that person is likened here to a person who sees himself in the mirror and he forgets about what he saw. A man can see that he needs a shave, but he doesn't shave. Or a man may see that his face is dirty, but he doesn't do anything about it. But you see, there is blessing for the man who takes the careful gaze into the perfect law of liberty. For verse 25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There's blessing for that person. Be hearers and doers, not only hearers. Now he applies the principle. He applies the principle in verses 26 and 27. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. You see, back in verse 19 he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak. And if the word of God is working, I must examine myself with three questions. Number one, can I control my tongue? How can I tell when I am filled with the Holy Spirit? Is the Word working? For to be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with the Word. Can I control my tongue? You see, I believe that this is a high water mark of spiritual maturity. Controlling the tongue. If any man among you seemeth to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. What will control my tongue? Only one thing. The Word of God. Not hearing it, only, but doing it. It is the Word of God that controls the tongue. It is the evidence that God is working within my life. But then he moves on in verse 27. Do I have a concern for people in need? And he speaks of two classes. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans, the fatherless, and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. When he's talking here about visiting orphans and widows, he's not talking about a social visit. He is talking about a service call. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference. Visit those who do not return something for what you give them. Our Lord taught this in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, when you make a feast, don't invite those who are going to invite you back. He said, but you invite the blind, the maimed, the halt, those who can't repay you. And then you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the just. May I ask a serious question? Do we do this? Do we do this? No, we do not do that. We do not do that. And we do not take the Word of God serious as we should. Here he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. You see, you invite those who cannot return what you've done unto them. You know, giving a lot of time, in the giving of gifts, it becomes swapping and not giving. That's what it amounts to. You see, Christmas time comes. Here's a friend. I give him a $9.50 tie. And he gives me a $4.50 box of handkerchiefs. So in my heart, I say, I'll take care of this next year. That isn't giving. That's swapping. That's swapping. You see, New Testament giving, friends, is to people who under no circumstances are able to return the favor. How long are you saved? How long are you saved? Can you control your tongue? Second question. Do you support the Lord's work? Third question. Am I clean? Romans 12 verse 2, Philip's translation, the King James says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the word of God. Philip's translation, and that ought to be a good one, it says, don't let the world press you into its mold. Be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world press you into its mold. And friends, we need to examine ourselves. It is so easy to be poured into the mold of the world in the society in which we live. In dress, in lifestyle, in commitments, and in other ways. It is easy to be poured into the mold of the world. And then he says, pure religion is to keep yourself unspotted from the world. It is the same word that Peter used of Christ in 1 Peter 1:18 when he said, he is a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now what is James telling us in this section? He's telling us that the Word of God works. And where the Word of God is working, there will be a different lifestyle. Not by a program of negatives. I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do something else. But by a program of positive. I'd like you to turn with me to the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. We're just going to read a few verses that should speak to all our hearts. Ezekiel chapter 33. And we shall begin our reading at verse 30. And God is speaking to Ezekiel as his servant to the captives by the river Kibar. And he says, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the wall and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear my words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song, a one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. Friends,